Scripture reading for this morning is from the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read verses 25 to 32. And then our text is verse 30 this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, 25 to 32. Page 1822 in your pew Bible. I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and then the congregation responds together saying, "Thanks be to God." Ephesians 4, says the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." This is the word of the Lord. Our text is verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption." Dear congregation, dear Abby and Megan, gathered in the Lord Jesus Christ, I really like our text for this morning. This text is fascinating. It has a number of interesting words that bring to mind a number of powerful ideas that impact our lives. It speaks of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, and so it ties in very nicely into Pentecost. And it speaks very directly to you, Abby and Megan, as you have publicly professed your faith in Jesus Christ. What we're going to do this morning is take this text apart and see what it all says. Next slide. Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." What this text says in the English is pretty much what it says in the Greek. And so this is a good translation. Most versions of the Bible say it pretty much like this. Let's begin with the word sealed. Paul says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Sealed. What in the world does that mean? How are you sealed? What is a seal? Let's start with that. A seal is basically a mark of ownership. Take cattle ranchers who graze their cattle out west on the open prairie. The prairie, as I'm sure you can imagine, is quite big. It's easy for cattle to get lost or stolen. And so to deter poaching and make sure you know which cattle belong to you, what do ranchers do? They brand their cattle. They burn a mark onto them. That mark acts as a seal. A seal is a mark of ownership. Or take my library. I got some books in my library. Back when I was still in seminary, I got hold of this stamp thing. And every time I would get a new book, I stamped inside the front cover, "From the Library of Ken Benjamin's." Every time I did that, I put my seal in that book. That's what seals do. When you seal something, you put your mark of ownership on it. Well, that's what God does with us. We belong to him. In fact, he bought us. He bought us with the blood of his own son, and so we are very expensive. We are very precious to him. God doesn't want to lose us. He doesn't want us to get poached or stolen or lost. And so what he does is he seals us. He places his stamp on us. And how does he stamp us? By giving us the Holy Spirit. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, says Paul, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. It's not only in Ephesians 4, verse 30, our text, that we find this kind of language. No, Paul speaks of this in a number of different places. Ephesians 1, verse 13. There Paul writes, "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." Take 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Paul writes, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Holy Spirit in our hearts." See that? God seals us. He marks us as his own by giving us the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to pursue this a bit more. Congregation, allow me to note a few things about the nature of God's Holy Spirit seal upon us. Allow me to note four things. Next slide. When we are truly marked by the Holy Spirit, that seal never really goes away. It never disappears. It never wears out. Some marks disappear, not this one. Paul says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." What is the day of redemption? The day of redemption is the day of Christ's return. When we are sealed by the Holy Spirit today, that seal remains. It marks us all the way until Christ's return. We are marked that long. Nothing can undo its stamp. Not even death. You might think that death might undo it. No, it doesn't. When you die, you remain stamped, sealed by the Holy Spirit up in heaven above. You remain stamped, you remain sealed all the way until Christ's return. And that's not to say that we suddenly lose the seal then. No, no. It's then, on the day of Christ's return, it's on the day of redemption, that the Holy Spirit will raise us up. He will resurrect his people, glorify them, so that they are not just sealed by the Holy Spirit, they are completely made new by the Holy Spirit. They are transformed by the Holy Spirit. You follow? And so nothing undoes the mark of God's ownership. God's people, they are sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Nothing wears it out. Next slide. A second thing to note about the nature of this seal is this: God's Holy Spirit seal also acts as a down payment for the day of redemption. Acts 1 verse 13 puts it this way. It picks up on this point. Ephesians 1 verse 13 says, "Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit or a down payment, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Maybe you don't follow. What's a down payment again? Well, when you buy a house, let's say, often you first put down your down payment. When you put down your down payment, your deposit, what you're saying is, well, the rest is coming yet. I'm giving you the beginning now, the rest is coming later. And for sure, the rest is coming later. Paul is using that kind of language in reference to the seal of the Holy Spirit. By giving us the Holy Spirit, that seal is the beginning of everything else that we're going to get. It's the down payment. Don't you worry, the rest is still coming. Yep, a lot more is coming. The new heavens and the new earth is coming. The kingdom is coming. That's fascinating to think about. You know, sometimes we wonder what that world in the end will be like. What will it be like on the day of redemption? What will God's new creation be like? We talk about that in catechism sometimes. Well, the end is not totally foreign to us. It's not completely unimaginable to us. Why? Because we already have the Holy Spirit. He's the beginning. He's the beginning of the end. If we can enjoy the Holy Spirit now, we have an inkling of what we will enjoy in the very end. As a seal, God's Holy Spirit is the down payment. It's the deposit for the day of redemption. Next slide. A third thing to note about this seal of the Holy Spirit, this seal is actually a person. Most seals are not that way. Most seals are just a physical mark, right? I mean, take branding. When you brand a cow, you burn a physical mark into it. I'm glad we're not sealed in that way. Or you take even the stamp that I use to stamp my books. All it does is leave some ink. That's it. That's the physical evidence that that book belongs to me. God's seal is totally different. God's seal is a person. He lives in us. He turns us into a temple. All of this means that God's seal on us, in us, is very intimate. It's very personal. It's very relational. It's covenantal. We're together. It's like a marriage. God's seal is alive in us. That's cool. Three things we know so far about the nature of God's Holy Spirit seal. Number one, it never wears out. Number two, it acts like a down payment for the day of redemption. Number three, it's a person. And number four, next slide. God's seal, it changes us. It transforms us. It transforms us so that the change in us is the evidence. That's the physical sign that we are sealed by God. You know, like I said, most, if not all, seals leave some kind of physical mark. I think even of circumcision in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God's people, the Israelites, they were sealed by the mark of circumcision. How did you know if you belonged to the people of God? Well, you look down, I guess. You look for the mark. That was the sign that you belong to God. As you know, Old Testament circumcision has been replaced, right? It's been fulfilled by New Testament baptism. In the Old Testament, God's people were circumcised. In the New Testament, God's people are baptized. In the Old Testament, believers and their children were circumcised. In the New Testament, believers and their children are baptized. Some people say it's wrong to associate these two things. How can baptism be a replacement for circumcision, they say? They're hardly alike. I mean, in circumcision, it leaves a physical mark. Baptism, it doesn't leave any mark at all, does it? Well, actually, it does. Well, the water itself doesn't do it, of course, but baptism is fulfilled. A baptism is made complete. When you know Christ by faith and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the change he makes in you, that is the physical evidence that you belong to God. Baptism points to, baptism calls for the filling of the Holy Spirit and the change that comes with it, always. I think of John the Baptist, what he says in Matthew 3, verse 11. John says there, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Baptism always points to that. He's the physical evidence. His transforming work in you is the physical evidence. That's the mark that you belong to God. I don't know. I find this all rather fantastic stuff. By grace through faith, God's people are sealed. We are sealed with something that never goes away. It never wears out. His seal acts as a deposit. We've got the start of something that's very, very cool, and the rest is yet to come. Not to mention that God's seal is a person, a divine person at that. God's seal lives right inside of us. He's alive. He's a seal that changes us. He turns us into godly people, set free from sin and garbage and misery. We're changed from the inside out. This is what Paul all talks about in our text. All great stuff. Next slide. This is what we need to know on this Pentecost Sunday, writes the Apostle Paul, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Cool stuff. Congregation, Megan, Abby, we need to talk about our responsibility now in the face of all of this. We've heard the good news. We talked about that. We need to talk now about how this impacts you. As you know, God's covenant always has two sides. God does his part. He's given you his personal divine seal to live inside your hearts. Praise his name. What's your job in the covenant now? What especially ought you to remember today? Paul addresses that too in our text. It's all right there. Paul writes, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve him. That's especially what you need to remember today. Don't grieve him. Actually, what does that mean? That means don't hurt him. Don't hurt the Holy Spirit. This wording reminds us how intimate a relationship we have with the Holy Spirit. We can hurt him. Andrew Kuivenhoven, in his Daylight Devotional, he puts it this way. He writes, we can insult a stranger, but we can only grieve someone who is close to us. To grieve means to cause pain or sorrow. This is the grave responsibility of a love relationship. A son can bring more joy to his mother than any stranger can, but he can also hurt her more than any other boy. Due to their unique and intimate relationship, a husband and a wife can bring more happiness to each other than anybody else on this side of heaven, but they can also cause each other more pain than anything or anybody else on this side of hell. Closer than a son to his mother and closer than a wife to her husband is the Holy Spirit to the children of God. That's why Paul tells us not to grieve the Spirit. How true. How do we grieve? How do we hurt the Holy Spirit? Well, there's a number of ways, I guess. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we ignore him. We pretend he's not there. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't do our devotions, when we don't read the Bible. Hey, the Holy Spirit, or the Bible, that's the Holy Spirit's main tool to talk to us. He wants to talk to you. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we neglect church. Church, this is the place we communally dialogue with God. Here the Holy Spirit is pleased to dwell. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we live in sin. Actually, it's in a discussion about sin that we actually find our text. Our passage, it begins this way, writes Paul, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, etc. Yeah, how can we grieve the Holy Spirit? We grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't watch our mouths. This is what verse 29 says, which leads right away into verse 30, our text. Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Yeah, maybe I'll conclude on this point. We got to use our mouths in the right way. Today, Abby and Megan, you used your mouths to confess Jesus Christ. You said basically we belong to Him. Praise God for this confession. This is the proof of the Holy Spirit's work in you. What an amazing, powerful, wonderful, intimate, saving God who has led you to speak this way. May you continue to speak this way, not only here, but everywhere, at school, at work, and at home. And don't forget this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the seal that you give to us. And we pray to you, gracious God, that we may not grieve the Holy Spirit, but that we may walk alongside with him, that he may walk in us and transform us and change us so that we may show to the nations, that we may show to the world that we belong to you. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us joy and gladness. Be with Abby and Megan as they continue in their confession. Hear our prayer, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.